Well, it's my privilege this morning to introduce a man who really needs no introduction to Calvary Gospel Church and our Veterans Day service. Man has become a friend of mine, a man who is, among others here, an American hero, Scott Rellis from the Marshall VFW.
Good morning, and thank you. I'd like to thank Ben Thompson for inviting us back again to present the colors. When Ben called and asked if we'd present the colors, I quickly accepted, not telling him we planned on attending anyhow. Then he asked me if I'd get up in front of everyone and talk about what the American flag and the Star-Spangled Banner means to me as a veteran. I wanted to tell him no, but I couldn't. Then I thought to myself, how hard can it be? I put my thoughts and feelings on paper. I stand in front of a bunch of people. I read my speech. I say thank you. Then I run off the stage. Let me put it this way. Ben called me October 17th, and as of yesterday afternoon, I still wasn't done. Several things influenced my thoughts, such as this past week, part of the 115th Air National Guard that I belong to came home from a deployment to South Korea. And on Friday, I insisted on loading some of the cargo from the deployment. The aircraft was from several different states. They were also returning home once the unloaded was complete. One of the crew members told me it was perfect timing. He was able to make it home for Veterans Day service at his church also. And several other crew members were able to make it home to watch their kids play in their sporting events that they haven't seen all season. One thing I happened to notice when I was standing there looking at them, whenever they'd go into the cockpit, they would touch the American flag. Whether it was a sticker mounted above the doorway or the real flag hanging in the cargo area. This was a lot easier reading this at home in front of my dog, I'll tell you that. Another item was yesterday morning, as I was rewriting my speech, I sat and watched the veteran ceremony on TV at Arlington National Cemetery. There was a program on afterwards about a Vietnam veteran, and he was held prisoner for over 8.5 years. This 80-year-old man never gave up hope and had such a positive outlook throughout his whole ordeal. This makes me appreciate the sacrifice that he made defending what he believed in. The American flag is a symbol of our great country. Not only has it been a symbol, been displayed in every battle the United States ever participated in, but it's a symbol everyone presents in time of devastation and tragedy, to include 9/11, the recent hurricanes, and the wildfires. The flag we have flying everywhere in this building has very special powers. The symbol actually brings more people together than any other item in the world. In 1916, Woodrow Wilson ordered it to be played at all military ceremonies and other appropriate occasions after the Americans entered into World War I. As I said, in 1918, the World Series, during the seventh inning stretch, the Star-Spangled Banner was played for the first time in a major league game. The crowd was already on their feet and began to sing along and applaud at the end. In 1931, the Star-Spangled Banner became our national anthem. The national anthem has been performed by such artists as Jose Feliciano, Jimi Hendrix, to Lady Gaga. It has been sung by a 2-year-old at a high school basketball game, a 16-year-old at the presidential inauguration, and a 94-year-old World War II veteran at a basketball game. I'd like to share a couple of stories that influenced my life regarding the flying of the regarding the flag and a national anthem. The first one was the Friday after 9/11. The veterans were presenting the colors at a home football game. And before the national anthem, there was a moment of silence. Standing in the middle of the football field, looking at the crowd, I noticed a young girl standing perfectly still with one hand over her heart and the other hand holding her mother's hand while having tears of confusion, not really understanding what had happened, not knowing what was going on. After the national anthem, I walked up to the little girl. Took off my hat, removed the flag like so many of us here have, and gave it to that young child. Several years later, by walking the same dog that listens to my speech around the neighborhood, this woman stops me and politely tells me I was the one who gave her daughter that pin that she still was wearing. 10 years later, that same little girl graduated from high school. And at an awards presentation I was able to attend, this young girl came up to me and said, thank you. And she was wearing that same flag. It's amazing how one American hat pin might change the way that little girl thinks. The next story. The next story happened here. It was the first year we presented the colors. We had no idea what to expect. We had just met the Thompsons. They explained when to post the colors, when to recover them. Unfortunately, they could not prepare us for the remarkable experience we were about to take part in. We sat in the back like we usually do, and this lady in a motorized scooter comes in, says hi to everybody, gives everybody hugs. She parks her scooter next to me at the end of the row we were sitting. We greeted each other, thanked each other for their service. Closer to the end of the service, all the veterans in the back row had at least one thing in common. We all had tears in our eyes for many different reasons and many of the same. After looking around and seeing an expression on everyone's face, I felt this lady reach over, place her hand on mine. Looking at her, there she sat with tears-filled eyes, but a smile on her face. The pride in both of our souls. As a big American flag dropped from the ceiling, her grip tightened just a little bit, and we both understood what was meant. Every year she sits in the back with us, and now she gets hugs from all of us. Through the years, we found out that she drove big trucks in the military, and to include different facts about her, to include that her sister belonged to the same VFW as an auxiliary that we do. It's amazing how different generations still come together to pay respect to the flag so deeply appreciated. It's a small world and wonderful people everywhere. The American flag has a unique meaning to each and every one of us. Not only in the United States, but all around the world. The American flag symbolizes freedom, pride, responsibility. The red, white, and blue represents the opportunity to make dreams a reality. The American flag also gives us the opportunity to meet people from different cultures, beliefs, and backgrounds. Speaking from experience, I've been able to meet people from so many different places. I've been able to meet other veterans sitting in the back row, which are now part of my family. I've been able to meet Ben and Stephanie Thompson, their family, and all of you. So what does the American flag and the national anthem mean to me? It means honor, respect, freedom, dignity, and pride. Every day I go to work wearing a uniform that helps protect these symbols. Every day I hear my F-16s take off or the Black Hawk helicopters flying around. It makes me smile because we all do it for the same reason. Plus that sound is a sound of freedom to me. With that, I salute all of you and thank you.
Well, I did it to myself again. A few years ago, we put out the schedule, and I had my daughter up here, and I was supposed to come and speak after her, and she hit the ball out of the park, and like, okay, now what do I say? And did it to myself again. Wow, Scott. Duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. They are your rallying point to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. Unhappily, I possess neither the eloquence of diction, that poetry of imagination, nor that brilliance of metaphor to tell you all that they mean. The unbelievers will say they are but words, but a slogan, but a flamboyant phrase. Every pedant, every demagogue, every cynic, every hypocrite, every troublemaker, and I am sorry to say some others of an extremely entirely different character will try to downgrade them even to the extent of mockery and ridicule. But these are some of the things they do. They build your basic character. They mold you for your future roles as the custodians of the nation's defense. They make you strong enough to know when you are weak and brave enough to face yourself when you're afraid. These immortal words were made famous by General Douglas MacArthur, but they still ring rich with meaning today. As we've gathered here this morning to recognize men and women who have answered that call to duty and have served their country with honor, we salute you. We honor you this morning. However, I must admit, I have somewhat of an issue with Veterans Day. There's something about it that I just, I don't like. It's the same problem that I have with other holidays, such as Mother's Day, birthdays, anniversaries. And it's just simply this. Put your stones down. What I mean is, if the only time I ever say anything nice to my wife is on her birthday, if the only time I ever show respect to my mother is on Mother's Day, well, then there's something wrong with me, and there's something wrong with my life. See, I think every day, and I think Veterans Day is great, don't get me wrong, but I think every day should be a Veterans Day. I will walk up, whether it be at Walmart or Woodman's, if I see someone in uniform or if they have a hat or jacket, and I walk over and just stick out my hand and say, thank you for your service. Ask them, you know, where they served, when they served. Just show them some honor, because it's not all about just November 11th. We need to always be respectful. I remember a few years ago I was preaching. We used to do a nursing home service, the nursing home in Wisconsin Dells. And as we were walking out, there's this gentleman sitting out there, had a Vietnam veteran's jacket on. And I just walked over and said hi and began to say, I think that you were in Vietnam. And he began to talk. And finally, I just said to my wife, I said, why don't you go to the grocery store, come back and run your errands, come back and pick me up when you're done. So I just sat down there in a chair outside and talked to him for probably 45 minutes, an hour. Just listened to his stories, honored him, showed him respect. And maybe it's the way I was raised, but our national anthem, the sight of the American flag, has always brought tears to my eyes. Even when I was a kid. And I've been to high school football games where these gentlemen that present the colors at the Marshall football games, and there have been times, not often, but there have been times, and there have been people in the stands near to me just cutting up and talking, and I was brought up to be respectful. But there have been times where I just want to turn around and just say, sit down and or stand up and shut up. Show a little respect. See, to me, whenever I hear those opening notes of the national anthem and I see the flag, I think of my Uncle Benny, who after being wounded in Highland on a glider ride in, refused medical attention. Later on, he volunteered to lead a small patrol behind enemy lines to reestablish communications with a cutoff platoon in the dead of night. I think about my Uncle Donnie Ormson, his brother, who served on the other side of the world in the Army Air Corps. I think about my Uncle Lyle, twice wounded, my Uncle Lyle Thompson, twice wounded in Vietnam, and the less than stellar reception he got when he came home. I think about my Uncle Jim Thompson, who drove barks. You know what a bark is? It's probably the largest four-wheeled vehicle ever created. Nine-foot tall tires. They're created as a landing craft after World War I. They'd load tanks and everything and then ferry them from the ships onto the shore. My Uncle Jim, even in the development stage, drove those all over above the Arctic Circle. I think about my Uncle Richard Thompson, retired Marine Corps veteran. I think about today, I think about First Sergeant Jerry L. Paris. He was my first sergeant when I was at Fort Campbell in the 101st Airborne Division. And shortly after I got to Germany, he showed up there as my first sergeant again. If I have any ounce of muscle in my upper body, it all stems back to the push-ups that I did for First Sergeant Paris. We actually were the only two air assault qualified people in our unit. So if I didn't have my coin, I did push-ups. He did a few too. But he was one of those men that he led by example. I remember saying I could follow this man anywhere because I know he has, first of all, he has my best interest in mind, but second of all, he's going to be out front. He was a leader. He was a hero. I think about my friend Roger Bell, one of the best friends I've ever had in my life, who recently retired as the first sergeant. Spent most of his career between Germany and Fort Campbell, Kentucky in the 101st Airborne Division. I was in Germany with him. Oh, well, we both served at the 101st, and then we both went to Europe as well. And I was with him in Europe when his second child was born that he wasn't able to be there for, when his wife Chris gave birth in the States. Now, I've been there for the births of all three of my children. But I sat there with my friend, and we cried together while he missed out on those milestones. I also talked about him while those years where he was deployed only to come back, and they were promised, we're going to stand your unit down, and we're going to be home with your families for a year. This is your time to recover. And after 2 years of being constantly deployed overseas during this tumultuous time, a month later, they got assembled. We're deploying again. When I think about Chris, his wife, Heather, Jennifer, and Lauren, his three beautiful daughters. Now, Heather, when she was about this big, toddling around, she said she was going to marry me when she grew up. That didn't quite work out, but I think about the years they missed with their father, the sacrifice the families made. They deserve my respect. I think about men like Rufus Parker, retired command sergeant major Rufus Parker. You might forget about that. I don't. There's actually Rufus Parker who got me involved in the church when I went to Germany. And I think about my brothers and sisters here in this room. I think about Ron Wittenbach. Ron here this morning? I haven't seen him. But if you ever notice him, sometimes on Veterans Day, he's got a little pin on here. He doesn't say much. He's kind of quiet. Most heroes are. But if you realize what that pin means, that's a bronze star. They don't give those away for slackers. That means he did something. He's a hero. Now, friends, if there are any freedoms or liberties that you enjoy, then it is our duty to honor those who have served our country. The Bible says, don't use your liberties as a cloak for maliciousness. 1 Peter 2:16. Hey, I had to throw a little Bible in here. Listen, I understand we have issues. We always have. We probably always will, because we are a collection of imperfect people. And if you don't like it, well, you can leave. And I don't mean that mean. Please, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. That's a fact. Not everywhere in this world you can't leave. I was in Germany in the 1980s. That's where I served. I went to Berlin. I saw the Berlin Wall. Or actually, I should say the Berlin Walls. There was actually two of them. And there was a space in between, a booby trap space in between, with whitewashed walls so people trying to flee from east to west would make easier targets. I served and spent time in Belgium. You know, I think Pastor Roy has went to Belgium. You know, American, you go to Belgium, you're a hero, especially if you're an American service member, because they remember what men like Larry, I see Larry sitting back here someplace, serving the 327th Glider Infantry. This man's a hero. You go to Belgium, they remember him. They honor me because of what he did. And we take so much for granted. You know, if you want to leave, North Korea is a possibility. But I hear the punishment there for just stealing a propaganda flag is 15 years of hard labor. Not that you would live that long to serve it all out. And I'm not making light of a tragic situation that recently happened. I'm just saying that let's not take for granted what we have. Let's not take for granted what we have. I also might add that both of those spirits and situations were held in check by these men and women in uniform. And if the USA, and if you listen in the news sometimes, you listen to some people, man, this is a horrible place. My question is, if this is such a horrible place, why are so many people still trying to come here? And I love my church. I love the fact that I get to sit here and Sunday mornings we teach a class, and so many people from other parts of the world have came here to Madison. I see Anuncia sitting here. I talked to JP earlier. Young students have came here to go to college. I'm not sure if their plans are to get their education and to go home or to stay here. I kind of hope they stay, because America is better with them. Let's admit it. We all came from someplace. At least the vast majority of us all came from someplace. I wish I could remember what my great-grandma, Lillian Posh, felt as a 9-year-old girl when she stepped off the boat. My family hasn't been here all that long. I'm blessed. We're blessed. And if you don't like it, well, change it. That's the nice thing. One of the great things about living in America is positive action is not only a right, it's also a responsibility. We all have the power to make a difference. I think every day we have the right and the responsibility to make a difference for good, so that the service that these men and women we're honoring this morning isn't for naught. Does that make sense? John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Let's make a difference. Let's honor what these men and women have done. Duty, honor, and country. It is our duty. We all have a duty. We may not have served in uniform, but we all have a duty. I'm thankful for my service, but to be honest with you, I consider my duty now more important than the duty I served 20 years ago. What I do today is more important than what I did back then. Let me close with this. Some more words of another great American that just this morning as I was looking over, I saw, and, you know, I decided to include them. Most powerful words ever penned or spoken. They're simply this. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are now engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives so that this nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they brought, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. From these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we highly resolve they have not died in vain, that this nation under God should give a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. God bless the United States of America, and God bless our veterans. Thank you.
does that star-spangled banner yet
seated. I just want to close out here today. First of all, I want to thank Ben and Stephanie Thompson for all of the work that you put into this today. Thank you, Brother Ben, Sister Stephanie, all of our children, our Sunday school, and Sister Vicky and our adult music. Thank you so very much. We're gathered here today, and a lot has been said on our flag and our country. We have here in this service men and women that have fought their way across Europe, across the South Pacific, Japan. They fought in Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, Iraq, Afghanistan. We have World War II veterans here, my father-in-law, I give honor to today, 93 years old, I believe, fought his way across Europe, Belgium. I had the honor and the privilege to go back with him a number of years ago. It's been now, but just last year he was back over there with Brother Jim Rivas from our church, was able to go with him and some of my sister-in-laws. I look at Larry, and we have Jamin Powell here, who I think is our newest member in the service, who's home right now on leave from the Marines. I'm proud of our veterans. Not just the veterans of Calvary Gospel Church, but all of you that are here today, we give honor to you. The war has changed. The face of war has changed. We look at the war on terror that is spanning our globe. We live in very uncertain times. But I'm thankful that we have men and women who are willing to stand up with pride, bravery, and a willingness to sacrifice so that we can enjoy what we have here today. And at this time, if you are a veteran and you are here with us today, I would like for you to stand, and I'd like for you to come down to the front. And we would like to give honor to you as you stand and come down. Let's give honor to all of our veterans. If you need assistance getting down,
thank you.
of the world today has many heroes. We look at movie actors. We look at Batman, Hulk, football players, sports stars, rock stars. We call them our heroes. But listen, folks, these in front of us right now are our true heroes. How many of you would like to meet a hero this morning? They may not feel worthy of that, but you are our heroes. God bless you. God bless our veterans. And as we conclude this service out, I just want all of you, just feel free to come down to the front, shake hands with a veteran, thank them for your service. We've got the flag backdrop. If you'd like to take some family pictures here, that'd be welcome. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this day with us. And thanks again, Ben and Stephanie. God bless you all.
Proud to be an American.